As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God.
All right, so now if we could go ahead and play a DVD that we also had prepared once again to kind of show you a little bit of what we had experienced during our mission trip. Like I had said, we had lots of challenges. We had really had to dig down deep and find that trust that everything was going to be okay. And we have found a new hope in each other. So let's go ahead and watch the DVD.
Trouble now, I thought, how do we ever get so far down, and how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something?
If I could go ahead and have everybody come up that was on the mission trip. All right, so we tried to keep everybody kind of updated throughout our week, even before we had set off upon our departure and everything. We had some challenges before we even left Michigan. Before we even left Hamilton, we've had some challenges. I had started planning this trip actually when we came back from West Virginia the first time. So 2 years I had planned this trip and getting all the little details and everything scheduled and making arrangements. I had reservations and stuff for two 12-passenger vans, through Budget Avis in Holland. Needless to say, Saturday at 12 o'clock when we came to go pick them up, we had a very not so nice, apologetic young lady at a front desk that said, nope, we don't have them. And probably the look on Sandy and I's face would probably be priceless at that point in time, because our jaws had dropped and said, no, that is not going to work. We are leaving for New York at 5 o'clock in the morning. We need two vans. And she was nice enough to say, well, we can offer four minivans in place of those passenger vans. And we said, well, that won't work either, because we would need to have extra drivers unless, you know, they wanted to provide those two. That was not going to work. So, needless to say, and I'm going to say me, my Christian switch was turned off at the moment. And I was very upset and very nervous. Like, what are we going to do? We have 13 of us leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning. We cannot walk there. We cannot drive our mini little cars and try to shove everybody in plus luggage unless everybody was going to wear the same clothes all week long. That was not going to work. But thank God, he was guiding us the whole way, and we just rebuilt our hope in him even more, because even though the devil was trying to work against us and make it so that we couldn't do our good work, God was there to provide for us, and Hamilton Reformed Church was able to loan us their passenger van, and then we were able to also rent a car through Enterprise that would give us a little extra room. We were very packed in these vehicles. We got to know each other very well, I would say. We didn't have much headroom. We didn't have much space to even call our own at that point in time. But God did answer prayers. And so with that being said, you're going to hear some testimony and some things that happened throughout the whole week that I don't think anybody would want to just take a week off of your year and or your work and be able to just jump right in without even knowing what you're getting yourself into. Matt, aka Steve, did that for us. We needed a male leader to come along with us, and he was nice enough to take a week off of work and join a bunch of people that he has really no relationship with. And he just really took it like a champ, because we are not nice. We are not nice people. So yes, he took it like a champ, and we just want to thank him for joining us, and we hope that we didn't scare him away too bad and he would be willing to do it again. So no problem. Some other things too, as you noticed in the DVD, there are some things that I need to explain. You saw a house in one of the pictures that had a big blue X on it. That house is abandoned because the person that lived in that house had died. They would go around after the Hurricane Sandy to evaluate what all had been done. And during the hurricane, a lot of people had died and did not make it out, because in previous attempts before, when Staten Island or anybody in that area was told to evacuate because there was a storm coming, a lot of times they would ignore it, or they would actually take it serious and they would all leave and then come back and realize it wasn't that bad. They could have stayed. So when they got the notice for Hurricane Sandy that everybody needed to evacuate, they didn't take it serious. They were like, oh, it's just going to be like one of the other tropical storms, and it wasn't going to be that bad. Needless to say, it was way more than what they had expected. So some people did not make it. When they came around and evaluated the damage and tried to check on people, they had realized a lot of people didn't make it. So if they did not make it through the storm, they would put a big X on it, notifying everybody that that person had died. We had did a lot of cleanup. There are some people, for instance, there was a gentleman that we had worked with a lot throughout the whole year, the whole week, who was not a Christian beforehand. He started volunteering because another gentleman there, Pastor Tim, came by after the hurricane and said, "How can I help you?" And he had this huge tree that came down on his house, and he says, "I need help getting that tree off my house." And within hours, Pastor Tim actually came with a bunch of people and got that tree off of his house. And since then, Pastor Tom had gotten that tree off of his house. And John, right? John was so thankful that he takes his 5-day work week and he crams it all in 3 days and takes 2 other days to help volunteer around the area. And he has become a new Christian because of the situation that they were in. He was so thankful and couldn't even believe that people would go out of their way to help each other in such an amazing feat. So Josh, Nick, and I had worked at John's house, and he had that pile of drywall. It was all wet drywall, and it was sitting there for a really long time. If anybody has ever had a pile of wet drywall sitting for a long time, you know it stinks and it's gross and there's just things in it that you don't want to deal with. And we all, one afternoon, decided we were going to help him clean that up. And we piled it up in a truck for him, and he finally had a driveway. And that man had a tear in his eye. He was just so happy that he was able to have his driveway back. And in fact, he had said, "I'm actually going to sit out in my yard today for the first time in years." So with those little feats, we did an amazing job, and I am so proud of these guys. We worked our butts off. We stank a little. I was so glad that I emphasized bringing deodorant. It was hot. It was challenging, and I just am thankful to be a part of this team. We have seen a new hope in each other also. I would love it if everybody would take a turn and kind of tell a little bit about what happened this week, what you did, cleaning up, everything, and I will just pass the mic around.
And if anybody has not been on a trip like this, and in case you were wondering or thinking that this might be a vacation, these kind of things are not vacation. These mission trips are not vacations. We did not stay at the Four Seasons. We stayed in the basement of a dirty, disgusting basement that we went and bought cleaners and bought bleach and mice, and you're going to hear about that. But in case you think these kind of trips are vacations, just to let you know, it is not. We did not stay at the Taj Mahal. We worked and we got poison ivy, and we did a lot of things that you're going to hear about to let you know this was not a vacation. But Nick's going to tell us about cleaning up and getting some poison ivy.
All right. It started off Monday, our first day. We went to clean up at a site that was destroyed by the storm, and they're going to turn it into a park, a memorial park of the storm. And there was poison ivy in one corner, which I got. And then we cleaned up trash. We raked up debris, kind of changed it so they can put park benches and plant flowers and grass. And then Tuesday, me, Josh, and Zaina, we went to someone's house that was destroyed by the storm. And they wanted to re-roof the house, so they tore all the old shingles off, but they decided to dump it in between a 2-foot space in between houses. So us three cleaned up the shingles in between the houses to bring to the dump, which turned that whole place into a new place, and it looked fresh again. So it was definitely, and we cleaned up drywall that day for John, and to see him know that there's hope out there, that people can help, was just awesome. I worked with John a lot, helping him clean up debris. He has his own lawn care maintenance in New York, and so he knew a lot about that kind of stuff, so I helped him rake and shovel shingles out into the junkyard that we stopped at to drop off the shingles. Yep. And just to see how happy even the workers were that were working on houses, to see how happy that we came by to help, it was just awesome. So.
Okay, so on Tuesday and Thursday, we worked at a food pantry where we'd like go through and like help people get the food that they needed, and everyone had like a little card that said how many people were in their family and how much food they could get. And so on Tuesdays and Thursdays, they had like where the homeless people could like come through and get what they needed. And Grace and I met this one lady, and we like were walking through, and she was kind of quiet at first. And then like she started talking more and more to us and stuff. And then like by the end, she was like almost in tears, and she was talking about how much like she felt God through us, and like how cool it was that like we could like do that for her. So that was cool.
I do have to say, we could have made a lot of money on how many times we had heard, "Are you guys twins?"
All right, on Monday, I did a mobile food pantry, and we drove around, and then we would park the van, and we had little bags of food, and there would be people that come by, and then they tell us how many people are in their family, and we give them a certain amount of food bags. And it was just really cool to see like how happy people were that they had food.
On Tuesday, me and Nevada both carried down baskets. So when they went through the line, we would take both their baskets and bring it downstairs. And then we would run all the baskets back upstairs. And also, as you've seen in the photos, Nick and Nevada did that also on Thursday for the pantry.
So as these people would come through, we knew we were going to be working some with the homeless, and we were going to be doing something with the food, but we didn't know exactly what that was going to look like. When we get there the first day, we were there, it started at 9, we were there like at 8:30, and they were lined up down and wrapped around the building and down the road. We had no idea what we were going to encounter, and I've been with Love Inc., and we've got the food pantry here and how it's set up. Our food pantry is way bigger than what this space was. They literally had one row they could go down that had a rack of maybe 4 different sections, and then they would get through. The people that normally helped them, they had to get these people through and get them through fast. And we had said, you know what, we're going to stop and try to talk with them. We had this whole mission in our head that we're going to be friends with each and every one of them. And they were like, cut it out, because we have these people lined up down the road waiting for this stuff to come through. And we're like, okay, they'll come through today, and they'll get their baskets of food, which these guys talked about carrying down. They had a flight of stairs that they had to carry food down, and they did that for hours. It was impressive with these two. But this wasn't food that they're going to come back on Thursday and get some more, and the next week, Tuesday, get some more. This was the things that they carried in the two baskets lasted them for a month for their family.
If you notice that in some of the pictures, like she was saying, the stairway, it was a very narrow stairway. You couldn't fit multiple people going up and down these stairs. And so these guys got their workout. The food bags that were delivered that some of the kids had done, you notice that there was this big pile of blue bags. We had put together over 300 bags that would last maybe an hour. of handing them out. And they were only limited to one bag, usually. They got a box of cereal, a can of vegetables, a can of fruit, a can of protein, which was the beans, and they got a juice and a thing of rice. And that's all they got in those bags. And for us, we're like, where are they going to get the rest of their food? But they weren't getting any more than that. That was it. But it was amazing how many bags we had to put together in such a short amount of time. And we worked so hard piling those suckers up because we didn't have a whole lot of space either to work. Nevada?
So Thursday, Tuesday, they said that they're going to have a truck come in. There would be one or three pallets that we had to unload and put upstairs. We didn't really think that was much, and it wasn't. And then Thursday, they said three trucks with nine pallets per truck. And we're like, okay, that shouldn't take that long. And then we were there for like 5 hours. And you want to talk about heavy? Yeah, it was heavy. So, yep, we brought it up a conveyor belt and then did a Chinese fire drill and just started throwing. And then we had boxes that were like 2 foot by 2 foot of all just ground beef. Me and Matt piled and piled and piled that stuff into a freezer, and you probably could not fit one more pound in there. Yeah. When the stuff came in, we brought it to the back, and then we were told not to stock the shelves because there was one old lady that was in charge of stocking the shelves, and she was not very nice. It's hard to explain, but she needed everything perfect. A lot of F-bombs. And from her, not from us. And me and Matt went with Tom one of the days, and he had to dig up rock, and we had to build a frame and pour a slab of concrete. And then we picked up some scrap that was laying around, brought it to the scrapyard, and I had to show John how to go on a scale and do all that because he had no clue. So it was pretty good.
I'm going to kind of veer off from the food pantries and stuff. But so Wednesday they wanted a group of people to just stay at the church, and they didn't really say what they wanted, but they just kind of said stay there. And somebody was supposed to meet us down there at 8:30, and, you know, 9 o'clock had rolled around, and it was just our group of four and Zaina's group of four. And they didn't have to leave until, like, 9:30, so they were still there with us. And then two people come in, Bill and Bill Jr. And Bill was a World War II veteran, and he was in a wheelchair, and he's 98 years old, right? And he comes in, and Bill Jr.'s like, all right, we're going to leave him here with you. You know, he's going to take care of you guys. So we're like, okay, and then Bill Jr. leaves. And then Bill kind of sits there for a little bit, and he's like, so have you guys ever cleaned a sewer out or ever seen one? And we're like, well, no, none of us really have. And then he started telling us about how they made some sort of deal or whatever with the state that they would once a year clean out the sewer. And he said they lied about that because they haven't cleaned it for 2 years. And he said 3 years ago, the last group we had like you go down there and clean it. And we were like, oh, man, like, that's going to be our job today. They wanted us to stay here to clean out the sewers. You know, no wonder they didn't tell us what they wanted, you know. And he was like, so this group 3 years ago was like, they were down there, they were all cleaning, and then there was, like, screaming, and the group was like screaming and running up to the door and banging to like leave. And so he's like, so my job, because they had police cars around the outside, he's like, my job is to, you know, call the police if something happens. And so he did, and the police got there and got them out of the sewer, and they went down there to investigate what happened, and he said that they found a human corpse down there. And he's like, yeah, he's like, you can find that, and you can find dead animals down there. And he's like, yeah, it's not really great, but, you know, we've had people do it before. And he went into just great detail about it all, and we're just sitting there like, all right, this is what we're going to do today, you know? And then Zaina, the group had to leave, and they're like, so who's all glad they're coming with me and not staying there? And then they walked out like, have fun today, you guys, and just, like, left. And Bill went into a lot more detail, and then he was like, okay, so then there's part two. And we're like, oh, part two. And he's like, so I just need to tell you guys something really important. This was a prank. And we're like, oh, okay, you know, great. None of us really want to go down there. But then he wanted to know what everybody's thoughts were. And from our group, a lot of us were prepared to go down there. I was prepared to throw up, but still go down there. help clean out and, you know, do what we had to do. But, yeah, so I guess that was just kind of, you know, our group willing to do whatever it is that they wanted us to do. But then they actually just wanted us to help clean up the church that we were staying in because nobody had really done that before. And when they told us what they wanted us to do, it was just basic sweeping, mopping, and just taking care of a couple things in the kitchen. And we had already done that the first day that we had gotten there. And, in fact, we had continued to do it, and they were like, oh, we've never had a group do that before, you know, so we don't really know what we have for you to do anymore. And then, so they just kind of had us throw out a bunch of trash that they had, but, like, really that was it. They were just so surprised that we had decided to actually clean where we were staying, even though it wasn't our place, so.
Just to let you know, this beautiful, very Victorian-looking church that we were staying at, I think they said it was built in the 1800s, and it was very old. Needless to say, when Hurricane Sandy came around and people needed a place to go, they would gather at this church and stay there. They had actually New York State cots left there that the state had just thrown into this church and said, here, use these for your bedding, but we were very thankful that they were there because some of our air mattresses had holes in them. So we were able to sleep on these cots instead of this hardwood floor, even though the cots were not very comfortable. But a lot of the stuff that these guys had cleaned out of the church was left there from like 4 or 5 years ago when the hurricane had happened. There was like hundreds of boxes of chicken seasoning. And we're like, what in the world? Did they eat that? Or we could not figure it out. But every little nook and cranny, you would find at least 20 boxes of this chicken seasoning. And it was all expired. And these guys took these boxes and dumped it in the dumpster. And we did find out later on, Josh will explain that they have rules with trash service, and he'll explain that.
Okay, so Zaina and Sherilyn already basically told more than 75% of the story that I was going to tell, so, yeah. So as they said, there was these chicken seasoning boxes everywhere, like at least over 100 and whatever, and they were everywhere, expired in 2014. And they were there since Hurricane Sandy came around. And so we load them all up onto this cart or whatever. I take it outside, start throwing it in the dumpster. And then after I got almost all of them in and only 10 left on the cart, this guy named Charles comes around that was helping us clean up, saying, oh, hey, you can't throw away cardboard in New York City. So I had to go dumpster dive into the thing and get everything out. And the night before, I think Nick threw away a tons of bags of like expired food and such, and there's just garbage juice everywhere. So I'm dumpster diving in this, grabbing all these cardboard boxes out, and then I have to get out after a while and clean up. And then after that, I have to open up all the packages, and they were like still in the packages. I still tape everywhere on them. So I had to cut it all open, dump all the insides of the boxes into the dumpster. And then after that, when I'm finally done with all that, I decided to go inside. And then Charles said, you have to also flatten the boxes. And on the other side of the boxes, I left some of the tape on because I only had to open one side to dump it all out. So I had to go back out there and then open that all up and then put it, flatten it and such. And then we had to put a place for it to be after that. We can't just leave it out there. We had to put it inside other cardboard boxes or whatnot. Needless to say, from about 10, I think, we started at 10. We started at 10. Other groups got back at 2:30 and whatnot. I was doing that the entire day, and I didn't get done until about 10 minutes after every group had arrived. I was out there all day in the dumpster, just messing around, opening up boxes, wondering why I was stuck with that job. You say, somewhat fun, except for garbage juice.
Apparently I'm Steve now. Yeah. Just want to say that the overall experience with being on the trip with this whole team has just been phenomenal. Seeing everybody come together, working with homeless, putting smiles on their faces, greeting pretty angry people, coming up the stairs, just saying good morning, and just all in all, having them leave with a smile on their face and just the hands-on experience working with individual teams throughout the whole process, it was just amazing. And, yeah, God is good.
Matthew and I went along with a group that cleaned out the little park. And it was a lot of uneven ground and poison ivy. But, Matthew, what did you do that day?
We cleaned the coolers.
We cleaned out some of the coolers. There was some
Tools.
Tools, and they had tools that they had used for some concrete work. And they said, oh, by the way, some of them have been sitting out and they're rusty. Some of them are still full of concrete. But we would like them all clean because they're very important to us. And we were like, So we got a knife out, and we started chiseling off concrete. And then what did we have to rub all over the tools?
Oil.
And did that feel good on your hands?
No.
And did I spill on myself?
Yeah.
And he let me know. But we spent a lot of time cleaning out the tools and getting it all straight. And he is meticulous, and sometimes he is the adult in our friendship. And he made sure that we lined them all up and that they were nice and pretty when they came and got their tools. And this young man, people say that he might be challenged in some ways. This young man is absolutely amazing because when there's work to be done, he's in the middle of getting the work done. When we're in the middle of greeting people, he is the first in line to do that. And Matthew has been an amazing, amazing part on our group, in our group, but also everywhere we went, people stopped and wanted to talk with Matthew. And he made a ton of friends this week, didn't you? Yes, he did. We had one night where we went in, we knew we were going to be encountering some homeless. It was an eye-opening experience, I think, for me and for our group, how many homeless we encountered in a city. And we knew it. We thought we knew what we were going to be getting into. We had no idea the situation with the homeless. The place where we stayed, we talked a little bit about the conditions of this church that we stayed in. One interesting, fun little fact is we all stayed in one room, because where they were going to put the boys was upstairs in an attic that was about 198 degrees with no air conditioning. And some of them we didn't like as much. We could have stuck up there. But the rest that we care about, we were like, we could not do these guys. So we all stayed in one room where there was the air conditioning in that one big open room where we saw. We all slept in there. Boys are gross. They are they're mean. It's bad. But we had one shower for all 13 of us in that building. And we would have to line up after working all day. Some of us are a little ripe. Some of us were a little stinky, right, Matthew? Yeah. And we have to fight for these showers. But there was one other option, which is we could walk 4 blocks down through a park and down the road where they had one more shower. And there are sometimes when we just had to do that because of time and needing to get everybody through. When we would walk through that park, it's where the homeless hang out. They're there with their bags. They were there with their stolen shopping carts, with their stuff full of their belongings. And that was just, I don't know the word, incredible, and not in a good way, thing to see. That this is everyday life for these people. I'm going to be here for a week, but I'm coming back home to my nice, warm, comfortable bed, shower, and home, and pantry full of food. That was a very interesting and eye-opening thing to see the homeless and what they live every day. I don't remember what day we went to the park with our leftover food. Probably Wednesday. We had to cook some of our meals on our own. We ate all of our evening meals back at this church. And we had so much extra. And after seeing these homeless people who are getting their meals one bite at a time, we said, you know what, we've got all of this extra. So we bagged it all up, and we went out, and we're going to go and feed them. And that night, the only night, there was not a single homeless person anywhere in that park. It was crazy. The only night that we didn't see the people that we wanted to go out and bless, but we found some guys and we did that. Which just is one of those things. We can lay our best plans, and we just have to follow the plans that God had for us, which sometimes was very different than what we envisioned or what we experienced. Wednesday night, we had the HIV positive seminar. A lot of the homeless are drug addicts or have addictions, which is why they are homeless. And they had a man come and talk about his experience of living with HIV. He was not homeless, but he just explained a little bit about what that was like, how the family reacts, and what some of these homeless people with HIV also have. They have just two things against them in today's world and what their struggles kind of look like. Something we've never even sat down and thought about or talked about before. It was such an interesting thing to sit and see and make friends with somebody who's living with that in their everyday thing. But it wasn't all work. It wasn't all, obviously, just the of things. We had a ton of fun, and there was laughter all week long. It was Courtney's birthday while we were gone, and Zaina and Steve's birthday, and my birthday, Yes, and they got us a cake, and we had birthday girl sashes. Even Matt had a birthday girl sash, and it was very fun. But Courtney is single, and we said, you know, we were going to help Courtney find dates. So everywhere that we went, we would find some random stranger, and we'd be like, it's her birthday. Will you come and take a picture with her? And Courtney would turn 12 shades of red, and she's like, quit doing that. But we've got like 190 pictures of Courtney with strange people to celebrate. And yes, and well, even we went to restaurants, and we would haul cooks out of the kitchen and waiters and say, come take your picture with her. And so we had a lot of laughs, too.
We also had a roommate. We have named our roommate where we were staying. It was a little mouse. His family members had previously passed, so we had thought we should give this mouse a name. What was his name, Josh?
We all had different names for the mouse, but my personal favorite one was Carl Pedro Carlos Lopez. Everybody else had different names for him, though.
Or some of us would just call him Paco for short. And, so we did have a visitor amongst us. So we were very thankful that we found these cots in storage so we can lift everything up. We were putting our suitcases on tables, and because we were like, we don't want to bring him home with us. We would really appreciate him staying out of our stuff. And as Sandy had said, in this building that we were staying at, they had one shower, and it was just not working for us to have all 13 of us take a shower there. So Matt was nice enough to take a bunch every night and walk 4 blocks to the other shower so we can split it up. But it just so happens, I think it was like our second night or something like that, the faucet in the shower had completely come off the wall. And we're like, oh no, now we have no shower here. And so that night we all had to take turns walking 4 blocks to take a shower, and we had to contact the facility to let them know, and thank God they were able to get it fixed, because I went without a shower for a few days. I was feeling pretty dirty, just so that everybody else could get their showers in. Was there something else that we are missing? Grace. This is Jenna.
Okay, we just want to say thank you to all our leaders, and we have flowers for Zaina and Sandy. Sorry, Matt, we didn't get you flowers. So can we give a round of applause for all of our leaders?
So every night we would have a Bible lesson, and we would just talk about wrapping up our day, what experience, how we saw God, and our theme was on the road. So we had, the first night was our broken road, second night was the fork in the road, and our last night we had the road to Emmaus, and we had talked very long about this, but one opportunity that we took advantage of, because usually towards the end of the week we do what we call the foot washing ceremony. And we had said, you know what, we have a lifetime opportunity here for some of these kids. Some of these kids have never seen the ocean or an ice cream truck. It was the first time for many, many different things. So we decided we were going to go to the ocean, even though it's completely polluted and didn't smell the greatest and stuff like that. But we went to the ocean, and we decided we were going to do our foot washing ceremony there. And it was such a beautiful, magical night. We were able to really bond and look at God's creation and do this ceremony and pray with these kids individually and have an opportunity to build a stronger relationship. And I cannot even express the words of the feeling and the magical moment that we had, literally walking individually one by one with the youth into the ocean and washing their feet, because that's what us servants are supposed to do with each other.
And we don't even realize what an amazing woman Zaina is and what a jewel she is to this group, because we've seen her pick up bags of garbage with garbage juice. She put hours and hours into planning this whole thing, and she drove around for 7 hours with me to find vehicles. And she's taking care of all of the big pieces that need to be taken care of, like van rentals and setting this all up and working with the people. But she's in the down and the dirty and the nitty-gritty and in the details of every single thing. And she put, I watched her put her arm around every one of these kids and pray over them before the week was done. It's an unusual thing to have somebody that wants to spend time with middle schoolers and high schoolers, that wants to take time away from their families to be gone for a week in different parts of the country doing some not so very pretty or nice, fun things, but to do it with such grace. And she has poured her heart into these kids, and every one of them has a connection with these kids that is phenomenal. And so do I. Will you help me join me in thanking Zaina with a round of applause for all that she is?
Who's your favorite?
Cindy.
What?
Cindy.
Matthew, that's not what you said in the video call. Matthew, that's not what you said in the car.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. it has been a blessing, and I would do it all over again. And I will be, apparently. We take every moment of our life. We take every moment of our life for granted. I started planning this trip 2 years ago, and in between that, the devil has been trying to get me down. He has tried and tried to stop it. And I said, no, I'm not going to let this happen. I love these kids. And I knew amazing things were going to happen. I'm a very stubborn woman, if you haven't met me. And I was determined to make this trip a wonderful and amazing experience for everybody. I don't care. I looked cancer in the face and said, no, you are not doing this to me. And I looked at these kids and said, I will be back. I promise I will be back. And we are going to New York and we're going to do amazing things. And we did that. And so we are going to look at the devil beneath us and say, no, not today. Because we trust in our Lord and we have hope for each other. And that's what all this was about. I will keep on doing this. I made a promise to one of my boys that I will be his youth group leader when he's in high school, so apparently I'm sticking around for a while. So we had done the math, and I will be a youth group leader for 15 years. But thank you guys so much for this experience, because without you guys, we wouldn't have been able to do it. We have been so blessed. And for many, many of us, we are looking forward to the next challenge. And so thank you once again. With that being said, the youth group can sit down. And Alyssa and Renee, please come up. I have to give kudos to Renee, my daughter. Courtney took it upon herself to help with middle school, but her schedule with school and everything had made it so that she wasn't able to do it for very long. Renee, towards the end, had stepped up and said, Mom, I will help you guys out. So Renee had joined us, becoming a leader and helping us out. And I think it was only fitting that Renee and Alyssa be able to sing a song, because we were blessed. And they worked so hard at this. And to hear this song, we're going to just feel the blessing amongst us. So...
cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. doubt your goodness, and we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to
just like that song says. Are our blessings in disguise, or are you guys going to go out there, just like every one of us, and be the hands and feet of God? Go out there and show people how much God loves us and how much they love those people. With that being said, we thought it would be fitting to do the benediction song. And if